On a drizzly morning outside Gebhardt's Missouri headquarters in a St. Louis County strip mall, the driver of a chartered bus closes the luggage compartments. Several dozen volunteers tape campaign signs in the windows and settle in for a day's drive to Iowa. It's there where Gebhardt is facing a crucial caucus battle with Vermont Governor Howard Dean. On the bus is Rich King, a retired member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. King hails Gebhardt for his longtime support of labor unions.
He believes in the working man having the same advantage as everyone else in this country. If it weren't for organized labor, we wouldn't have the standard of living we have today.
In campaign speeches, Gebhardt often touts his blue-collar roots. His father was a milk truck driver in the Teamsters Union and his mother a secretary. But the candidate's opponents say he panders to organized labor. For nearly 27 years, Gebhardt has solidified union ties in his district with opposition to measures like the North American Free Trade Agreement and support of universal health care. At a St. Louis Ford dealership in 1997, he spoke out against giving President Bill Clinton fast-track authority to broker foreign trade deals.
America stands for something more than simply making a lot of money. We cannot auction off our future or our values simply to make a quick buck.
Gebhardt has been consistent on labor issues, but critics say he's flip-flopped on abortion, gun control, and the environment. A younger Dick Gebhardt once opposed legalized abortion and raising the federal minimum wage, but recently he voiced support for minimum wage increases and has been pro-choice since 1986. Stephen Smith teaches political science at Washington University in St. Louis. He says representing a part urban, part rural middle American district over the course of a generation has made it tough for Gebhardt to tackle divisive issues.
It's a socially diverse group, ranging from devout Catholics, pitting them against women's groups, environmental groups, student groups, the wine and cheese crowd of the Democratic Party. So his general strategy has simply been to keep the focus on the economic issues and to de-emphasize the social issues.
Smith says as Gebhardt rose to national prominence, becoming House Majority Leader in 1989, he moved to the left to align himself with Democrats in Congress, but drifted from some of his more conservative constituents. He gradually softened on gay rights and now supports civil unions, but his daughter Chrissy, who's a lesbian, says he should go further.
We definitely disagree on gay marriage. I've talked to him about that at length, and I definitely know he's listening to me. I mean, he says that I'm making good points, and I think it's just a matter of time before he comes around and changes his decision.
Dick Gebhardt did change his decision on involvement in the Persian Gulf. He opposed the 1991 war, but stood with President George W. Bush on the recent military action in Iraq. At a Democratic debate in September, however, Gebhardt criticized Mr. Bush for not getting more international support.
This president is a miserable failure. He is a miserable failure.
Washington University's Stephen Smith says Gebhardt must go beyond sound bites and convince voters he's more than a Capitol Hill insider.
The public, I think, sees Gebhardt as one of the leaders of the past in the Democratic Party, and it's his burden to show that, in fact, he's full of fresh ideas and his expertise and experience is really a plus.
Gebhardt hopes his support for universal health care and pension plans will be the kind of ideas that resonate with voters across the country. For the Home State Record Project, I'm Matt Sepik in St. Louis.